This hour of Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. It's Mail It In Friday.
I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Yeah, it's Mail It In Friday.
I just stare at my desk, but it looks like I'm working.
So what?
I'd say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050.
It's Overdrive for your Friday. Scott MacArthur for Brian Hayes. Hayes back on Monday. Gord, Tour de Gord Miller is with me in studio for the next 3 hours.
I am.
So, you did it.
I did it. You shamed me into it.
No, I didn't.
You did?
No, I put a poll up on Twitter
yesterday.
You put a
poll up without asking me.
I did that. But that was not for shame.
Once you put it up, what else would you call
it? If I do something behind your back like that, it is not, hard and fast contract.
When you put it behind my back and it's in public, and I don't do it, what does that bring upon me? Shame.
Yeah, but you see...
Therefore, you shame
me. You have to care that much, though, to feel that shame. Because if it's an inappropriate...
Because I care so much for the Overdrive audience, who have been so kind to me.
Okay. Well, that's a nice thought. And look, they were obviously interested in seeing you or experiencing along with you, you riding your bike to work. They voted in droves, like 86% to 14%.
1,500 people or something?
1,500 votes. And I got to give you credit. Not only did you ride your bike to work for, what, an hour and a half, you chronicled this thing. There's a photo album up on Twitter right now, at GMillerTSN. You hit all the stops along the way. I mean, this was the Camino de Gordo. You rode the Camino de Gordo today.
The one thing I did not anticipate was the bridge in Sunnybrook Park on the trail being closed and having to hike over the creek and up through the forest for 25 minutes carrying my bike.
Really?
I didn't anticipate that.
So... this was like a full orienteering event for you.
Now, you're I should have known because the sign said trail up ahead closed, but four people on bikes came out. Where did they come from?
Were they coming in opposite directions? From an opposite direction?
Yeah, they came in the opposite direction. I don't know where they came from.
Maybe they hadn't hit the closure yet.
No, but the closure was behind them.
Oh, okay.
Maybe they went to there was a hut there, a bathroom. Maybe they went there.
Anyway, we appreciate your...
It was fun. It was...
your photo work.
It was fun. It was... it's uphill from Midtown Toronto to here. I'm not going to lie to you. And they don't call it the Don Valley for nothing.
Is it because there's a valley?
Well, because you go down one side and up the
you
other.
Have to, yeah.
Come up the other. And I was riding along Lawrence just before the 401. I looked up and I saw these houses on top of a hill and realized I had to...
That was street level?
Yes.
Wow. Well, I'm impressed. A little disappointed you didn't bring a change of clothes, if I was going to nitpick just a little bit, because you're a little sweaty right now. You're staring daggers right through me. You could just... You could reach across this table right now.
And kick you in the back.
Yeah. Well, oh, you could, yeah. Then you'd be doing this show alone. There'd be wailing in the background. So, help!
So you wanted me to wear a backpack.
I did?
With a change of clothes in it to come here and what, shower?
Well, don't you have a basket on the front of your bike?
No,
or something?
I don't have a basket in front of my bike.
A basket on the back of your bike?
No, I don't have a basket in front of my bike.
Like the old
bike.
Newspaper delivery kid baskets on the back of their bikes?
No, no.
You're too cool for school or something? Or
no, I just don't.
Anyway, you're here?
I'm here.
You're happy?
I am happy. I was good. I feel good.
Good.
It was good exercise.
That's great exercise. Now you only have another hour and a half to go after the show. Ride home.
Well,
downhill, though.
More downhill, and I know not to go through Sunnybrook.
Right, with the knowledge
I'm going to find a way. I think there's a way to go through. Maybe our listeners could help me with this. There's a way to go from here to Midtown without going back down through the valley. Like I think you go down like through like the Science Center. Well, you got to get to this, like go down
Don Mills and Eglinton area.
Go down Victoria Park, maybe to Bloor. And blew it across that way, and then back up.
Okay. Know. Well, what I could do, Gord, just to help you, since I typically take Victoria Park, I get off the 401 at Vic Park, and I head south to Lawrence, and then catch the DVP there, because that bottleneck at the 401 and the DVP just... I lack for patience.
I'm aware.
A million and 500,000 flaws that I have in my life, a lack of patience is one. So what I'm saying I could do for you is I could put on my flashers and just sort of lead the way for you there. I could be your...
be good. The reason I cycled to work today was our conversation started yesterday about you being impatient in traffic. That's how this whole
thing... Is that what that was?
That's how this whole thing started.
All right. Well, it ended up in a Twitter poll that was a resounding success, and here you are. You can go right into the weekend with a full day of exercise, 3,000 calories burned, and
there you go.
Gain them all back this weekend.
We got lots to talk about today.
So we got Masai Ujiri speaking up. And he's back in town. He was in Africa when he completed the deal to get Kawhi Leonard into Toronto. We still haven't heard anything from Kawhi Leonard. There's nothing from the Raptors on when Kawhi may speak. Masai and Kawhi haven't even had a face-to-face yet. So there is that. And then there is the DeMar DeRozan side of this, which I was debating in my head as I prepped what I was going to say for the show today and was prepping ideas for the show. To what extent is this a topic worth conversing about? And
what, the DeMar DeRozan end of it?
Well, because what happened, Gord, of course, was that Masai did apologize to DeMar, and he did acknowledge what had been reported previously, that there was a conversation. I had Paul Jones on my show. Jonesy was down at Summer League in Vegas, and we talked about this at the time, but... It had been reported and confirmed that there had been a conversation. Who knew what was said at the time, but that there had been witnesses to a conversation between Masai Ujiri and DeMar DeRozan. So it came down to what was said. And, of course, the DeRozan camp post-trade said that they had felt lied to. DeMar had, and a couple of weeks ago, DeMar cleared his Instagram account of all his photos, but he still posts Insta stories.
Yeah.
And he posted an Insta story prior to the trade being announced a couple of mornings ago very early, saying that he felt that he had been lied to and that you would all understand what he meant in a short period of time. And then not long after that, the trade's announced. Today, Masai apologizes. Said that, and I'm paraphrasing here and we'll play some of the clips, but paraphrasing that, my conversation with DeMar effectively was about his role and our plan going forward. So he didn't deny that DeMar could have been left with the impression
that he was part of that.
That he was a part of the plan.
Right.
He didn't suggest that he absolutely 110% said, you will not be traded. DeMar responded with an Instagram story, just one, runs for 10 seconds if you follow him, and it's just the facepalm emoji, a black screen, facepalm emoji, in the middle of it, just, I guess, his response to, come on, Masai, I guess. So, comes down to the question of loyalty and what is and is not owed of a team to a player, of a player to a team. Bottom line is, if Kawhi is healthy and playing, the Raptors are a better team.
Yes.
I don't know the machinations of NBA contracts vis-a-vis no move clauses, the way that you can have no trades, no moves in the NHL, the way that you can, once you're a 10 years of major league service time, five with consecutive with the same team, a 10-5 guy, you have full veto over any potential trade as a major league baseball player. But if there is no move action or no trade action in a contract, the player has to understand that possibility, even if it's extremely remote, that possibility exists.
Yeah, I don't know that a GM would ever say to any player, we'll never trade you.
I don't know why any GM would.
What if, you know, I mean, think of the player. What if, you know, I mean, whoever. I mean, if, unless you're the very best player in the league, why wouldn't they? I mean,
Connor McDavid's not getting traded, but for no other reason than because he's Connor McDavid.
Right. But, I mean, if someone called up and said, we'll give you 15 first-round picks for him, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
well, or if it, whatever. Leafs call up and say, here's Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner for Connor McDavid, you'd at least have to think about it.
Yeah.
I understand.
I didn't want to suggest a Leaf because then you get radioed.
Well, you can't really radio that, I don't think.
I said last fall in Leafs Lunch that if the Leafs run into a cap jam, Nylander might have to go, and people said I was suggesting they trade Nylander. I never said that.
Well, there is a part of the Leafs Twitterdom that breaks out into a figurative hives at the very notion of anyone suggesting that William Nylander may have to be moved, and it's almost internalized to a point of weirdness. I've never said, you've never said, that I understand Dregs, nobody else has ever said, that William Nylander should go, but I have said, and I don't want to digress into this too much, but it's always been, well, you know, if William Nylander is going to be the centerpiece of a package that gets you that defenseman that you absolutely have to get, then that's a trade you need to consider and maybe make. But you would never peddle a guy out for the sake of peddling a guy out, or you would never question William Nylander's skill set. That's not what we're doing here. Anyway.
We also got the Anthem thing today.
Alex Marvez is going to join us a little bit later on this hour. The Miami Dolphins. Stephen Ross, who apparently, like 3-4 years ago, launched a charity aimed at improving race relations and channeled toward
reconciliation
and the promotion of diversity, has now said, hey, guys, you kneel, we'll fine you, we might suspend you up to 4 games. If I'm the Miami Dolphins, and there is a player or two or three to whom this cause is extremely important, and they go to me in the locker room and say, we're kneeling before the game week one, will you kneel with me? If it's me, I'm with them. And if they make it team-wide, that would be a huge middle finger to Stephen Ross. That's how I'd handle it.
So the out the NFL has, they came back with this and gave players the option to stay in the locker room. Now, there is a long-standing Supreme Court precedent that goes back to the Second World War, when Jehovah's Witnesses refused to salute the flag or recite the Pledge of Allegiance in school. And in West Virginia, they were threatened with expulsion, and they were actually expelled from school. And it went to the United States Supreme Court in a case called West Virginia versus Barnett. And one of the beautiful pieces of writing about that is from the judge who wrote the opinion, Robert Jackson, from just outside, from Farmington, New York, where Roger Goodell's from, and said that, basically, to paraphrase, no official can compel a person to show loyalty. So you can't force someone to salute the flag. You can't force someone to stand at attention. What you can do as an employer, though, is say, this is what we're doing. You have the option not to do it. In other words, we will stand for the national anthem on the field. If you choose not to be on the field, we give you that option. So there's a difference. The funny thing about this is freedom of speech applies, but once you're employed, once you enter an employment contract, you and I, Scott, cannot declare preference for any political candidate.
I understand
right?
that.
So we cannot advocate political positions either publicly or privately. On my G. Miller TSN Twitter account, I cannot advocate for political positions one way or the other. I cannot. It's part of my employment conditions with this company. If you work at the checkout counter at Sobeys, you can't tell customers who you think they should vote for mayor. That's part of your employment contract. You may not do that. If you want to sit in the lunchroom and have a conversation about it, you're free to do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you and I want to have a conversation off the air about politics at work, as long as we're respectful and not intimidating each other, that's fine. But you cannot, in most instances, if you face the public, on behalf of your employer, express political views. So as an employee of the Miami Dolphins, kneeling is taking a political position. So the Dolphins have the right, they have the legal right to stop you from doing that, as long as they give you the option not to go on the field.
Now, I understand that any business arrangement where there is a financial transaction helps the National Football League. But we understand, right, just for context, that it was about a decade ago now that the United States Department of Defense and the National Football League entered into a business arrangement, at which point players started to stand on the sidelines for the anthems. Previously, the anthems would play at all NFL games and players would be in the locker rooms.
Yes.
But this was part of this patriotic display.
Yeah.
It was an attempt to recruit individuals, young people, to military pursuits, Army, Navy, Air Force, whatever the case may be. And those are all, I want to be very clear when I say this, that those are all highly regarded professions. That's not what I'm getting at when I talk about this. But there was a forced transactional patriotism that took place there.
And you have the and so the NFL has the right to enter into that agreement.
But my yes.
They have the right to enter the business agreement, and they have the right to compel you while in uniform to wear their the sponsorship of the company they've sold the ad to. So if they have if the Raptors have a patch on their uniform for a company, you have to wear it.
But this is and I've had Eric Macromella on my show a number of times, and I agree. I would prefer to put it this way, that I don't disagree, that legally, absolutely, and that I understand that we live in a world where good and bad very often intersect and intertwine, and that legality and morality sometimes come together, but at other times do not.
So,
and a lot of the reaction, Gord, and you know this, a lot of the reaction isn't about whether the NFL has the right to demand that players stay in the locker room if they don't want to stand for the national anthem out on the sideline. A lot of the argument has to do with this is an offense to the military. It's an offense to the flag.
That's Donald Trump. And that's that Supreme Court decision. You can't say that. And by the way, one of the reasons, you know, if you want to burn the flag, desecrate the flag, hang it upside down, do whatever you want, you have the right to do that. The people that the United States fought against in World War II, during the time of that decision, the Barnett decision, would have compelled you to stand for the anthem, would have compelled you to salute the flag, would have denied you the right to in any way harm the flag. That's one of the reasons that freedom's so important. I feel a bit conflicted here because I get frustrated with professional athletes who won't speak out, who just, you know, protect their brand and don't want to talk. But I will say this, LeBron James is one of the most powerful voices today in the field of social justice among professional athletes. He never talks on the court about it. He doesn't write things on his shoes. He doesn't do anything during the anthem.
Yes, but the NBA has come up with a competent policy.
But he speaks on off days. He speaks powerfully. He doesn't have to do it during games. Muhammad Ali, to me, is the most important athlete of the 20th century for a lot of reasons. He was, you know, a great boxer and all that goes with it. But there were three issues of importance in his lifetime, and especially during his prime: race, religion, and war. And he was a central figure in all three. Never in the ring. He never made his comments in the ring. But he remained.
Well, he went to prison for not going to Vietnam.
Right. But what I'm saying is, prevented him from getting into the ring. But what I'm saying is, he was the most powerful force for social change among professional athletes in history, you can argue. And you want to see more of that. The problem is, your employer has the right to tell you not to do it. And so if you're going to keep fighting this fight, if the NFL players are going to keep fighting this fight to kneel during the anthem, they're fighting the wrong fight. Put your energies during the 6 days a week when you're not playing.
Because and make them seen on your social media page.
Yeah, because your employer has the right to limit your speech while you are in uniform. They have the right. Remember Jim McMahon in the 80s had the...
But
Jim McMahon had the headbands, right. And the league said, no, he wrote Roselle on it 1 week. Because the commissioner said, you know, he put the commissioner's name on it instead. So... Unfortunately, I mean, I've talked to employment lawyers about this. Your employer has the right to do it.
And there's no, I'm not debating that. What I'm saying is I think it would be nice, and I understand that we do not, but it would be nice if we lived in a world where some of these billionaire white men who own the teams in this league would step up and encourage their players to use their platforms, including before games. I understand they have the legal right to prevent them from doing so. but to use their platforms in whichever ways they see fit, as long as it is not inciting violence and all that usual stuff, encourage their players to do what they feel needs to be done within the legal boundaries of good taste. Encourage them to do so.
So are you saying do it for the first game of the season? Is that like
this? No, if you want to kneel for the national anthem, kneel for the national anthem. If you don't want to kneel for the national anthem, don't kneel for the national anthem. You want to stand for the national anthem, you want to put your hand on your heart, you want to salute, you want to do whatever you want, do what you want.
It's bad for business.
Of course it's bad for business.
They're businessmen.
Yeah. Well, I understand that it's business. But sometimes business doesn't have to come first.
Oh, Scott.
Oh, I know I sound naive.
I'm kidding.
No, I know I
no,
sound...
You're right.
No, I know I sound naive, but what's... How bad is it for business? TV ratings are still extremely high. Have they dipped a little bit? Okay, maybe they have.
But public opinion...
But you know what? Everybody's, oh, it's because of the anthems.
No, there's lots
I think we understand that there's a hell of a lot of cord-cutting going on, even more so south of the border than up here. So a lot of people don't have cable television or traditional television the way that they used to. People could very well be ingesting the National Football League at or near the same level that they were before. They're just not going about it by sitting down on their couch, turning on their cable box, and flipping to ABC or ESPN or NBC.
There's no question this is an issue, Scott, or they wouldn't be addressing it. There's no question this is a public relations disaster for the NFL, or they wouldn't be addressing it. If it was no big deal, they'd just move on. But it's clearly a big deal. There's been a lot of public opinion about
It's been made a big deal by the orange goblin in the White House, who has riled up his base because his malignant narcissism has never gotten over the fact that he wasn't included in that old boys club 30-plus years ago.
Right. So whatever the reason, the NFL got dragged into a political fight, and they're trying to find their way out of it. It's a bit like the Pittsburgh Penguins going to the White House. What's a bigger political statement, going or not going?
I'd say, considering what is going on in that country, both are equally political statements.
Right. So their decision as a group was, we're going because it's tradition, because not going would have been a stronger political statement.
Yep.
Now,
I made my feelings clear. Yeah. In a predominantly white sport, it is a lot easier to go to the White House and visit that guy.
Absolutely. And I think what they were trying to find
I thought it was weak-kneed on the part of the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
They were trying to find a way to make it as apolitical as possible.
There's no such thing in this environment.
Exactly. But they felt that not going was a bigger political statement than going.
They could have been uninvited. They could have quietly said no, and then they would have been uninvited.
Right.
The way that the Golden State Warriors have been on more than one occasion.
So it's a fascinating discussion about the intersection of your right as an individual and what you sacrifice when you sign on for employment.
But here's the thing, Gord. This shouldn't be up to Stephen Ross. This shouldn't be up to Jerry Jones. They can have influence, but they pay a guy $40+ million a year to get these 32 men in a room to hash this stuff out. And the National Football League has been delinquent in showing any kind of leadership on this. And if you recall, Gord, at the end of last season, most of the protesting, the kneeling, had stopped.
Right. Did the Eagles ever do it?
I don't think the Philadelphia Eagles ever did, number one. But number two, a lot of the teams that had a significant number of players kneeling, that had all kind of gone away. I remember talking to my dad or something around Christmas time saying, I don't think I've seen much of this in the last 6-8 weeks since it was a bigger thing back late summer, early fall. And what did they do? They come out with this ridiculous quasi-policy out of their off-season meetings and put it right back in the public's face. And so here we are dealing with it again.
So when I first read it, I thought the NFL had a league-wide policy saying that if you don't want to stand for the anthem, you have the option to remain in the locker room. But if you go on the field, you have to stand. Then you read it again. It's up to the teams to determine. And that's the issue. You're right. I mean, the NFL had to set a league-wide policy. And then the teams have to enforce
it. But you know what? Work in concert with the players, like the NBA did, which is why you never see LeBron James or Steph Curry make any noise on the
court.
And
so the league has backed off today. So the NFL today backed off. That policy has now been put in abeyance or whatever, shelved, until they consult more with the Players Association and figure this out.
Alex Marvez is going to join us to discuss it.
Can't wait.
Well, there you go. You rode your bike for an hour and a half, got your heart rate up. This conversation.
And I was thinking about this. I was
got my heart rate up.
I was thinking about
Beautiful.
This the whole way.
Were you?
Yeah.
When you weren't taking photos or
getting hit by cars,
orienteering through the forest,
getting hit by cars.
All right. It's Scott MacArthur. It's Gord Miller. It's Overdrive. Alex Marvez of SiriusXM on the NFL anthem stuff. Kickoff is what, like less than 2 months away. It's Overdrive. TSN 1050. All right, Gord Miller is extraordinarily hungry because he rode his bicycle to work today. And you know what that means on a Friday on Overdrive. It's time.
Mail it in, baby. I didn't mail it in, but.
No. Skip the Dishes is bringing us some chow.
Awesome. What are they bringing?
I believe Sean Labery, our producer, has gone with Greek.
Mr. Greek?
I don't know if it's Mr. Greek.
Sure, Mrs. Greek?
I have no idea.
Just curious.
Probably the brains behind the operation. Overdrive, and the reason we're getting Skip the Dishes is because Overdrive is delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com. Alex Marvez, the NFL anthem issue.
Yeah, and our buddy Steve Sands coming up, too.
Looking forward to that. Day two of the Open Championship at Carnoustie.
I'm going to say this a lot today.
It's a good sound.
Yeah.
It's kind of a good, it's like a period on the end of a sentence, an exclamation point. We have got to Instagram this. You have got your feet up. You are totally chill.
Yeah.
Stick a postage stamp
I'm
on him.
I'm almost asleep.
He's mailing it in.
I am almost asleep.
And Scott MacArthur, it's Gord Miller, it's Overdrive, TSN 1050. All right, we're answering all the important questions, Gord, that you ask on the air. Okay. Apparently, and this is from Mike, who, again, I cannot verify the truth of this. This is simply a tweet to you and to me, and your mentions are off, so you won't see it. Mrs. Greek divorced Mr. Greek and started the friendly Greek restaurants. True story, my best friend dated their daughter high school.
No way.
And we are ordering from Little Greek, apparently.
Is there a Big Greek?
Through Skip the Dishes. Well, there's an East Gwillimbury. Is there a West Gwillimbury? Is there a centralized Gwillimbury? A North or a South Gwillimbury?
You have a lot of time to think about things, don't you?
Way too much. Way too much. I take routine hour and a half long bicycle rides.
I'd like to apologize to the listeners, by the way, for accidentally turning my mic on in the middle of the traffic report.
Yeah, that's all right.
Did it go on the air?
Probably.
It did not, apparently.
Okay, well, that's good.
My apologies rescinded.
Alex Marvez is waiting for us. NFL radio host on SiriusXM. Mr. Marvez, it's been a while. Guess what we're going to talk about?
What about the catering thing that you guys are doing for Kawhi to make sure he feels comfortable with Greek food?
We want to make Kawhi feel as happy in Toronto as possible, Alex.
So he can enjoy his year there before he leaves y'all? That sounds about right.
We're cleaning up the city. We're planting flowers. We're trying to find out what his favorite restaurant might be. Remember the Truman Show? Remember that movie,
The Truman Show?
Jim Carrey.
So Toronto's going to be the Truman Show for a year. Actors everywhere trying to make Kawhi Leonard happy.
Indeed. And, of course, we'll see if he's with the Lakers in 2019. But that's how it goes. Hey.
But did you just show up to troll? Was that?
Yeah. Pretty much. That was, well, that's what I thought you wanted to talk about. That's the big news in Toronto. But no, instead, I get it. You're talking about Jimmy Garoppolo and his dating habits. And listen, Scotty Mac,
no.
I am not, look, it's who am I to judge? You know what I mean?
Alex,
who am I to blow against the wind?
He throws for 5,000 yards this year and wins the Super Bowl, what happened this week or what was revealed this week will be viewed as the turning point. Okay? I'm just putting that out there right now.
And when they win that Super Bowl, I will bike to San Francisco for the parade.
Okay, that because you think the Niners are going to suck. They might not suck. Okay. They might not be the
Can
best
team. Can we talk
team.
About what's going on today?
No. Alex and I are having a conversation.
A side conversation. Okay.
Fire away.
The national anthem issue is once again front and center. Just what the NFL wants with rookies reporting. But so the latest from Stephen Ross now is, quote, we were asked to submit a form to the NFL and our overall discipline policy prior to the start of the rookie report date. The one-line sentence related to the national anthem was a placeholder, as we haven't made a decision on what we would do, if anything, at that point, unquote. So going back, the Dolphins were threatening that players would be fined and or suspended if they declined to stand for the national anthem when on the field.
Right, which was essentially what the NFL said back in May, and they were just, right. You know, they probably just cut and pasted what the policy was. But does anyone know what the policy is? I do this for a living. I don't know what the policy is. Is it a finable offense if 53 guys were to lock arms, or 46 that are active on game day, and sway back and forth during the national anthem? Is that not proper, you know, protocol?
Right.
I don't have an answer for you on that. No one does. That's the thing. This was what ended up happening. From what my understanding is this: Roger Goodell was not willing to go in and put in a draconian national anthem policy. He just wasn't willing to do it. He wasn't willing to be that guy that says, "Hey, as a league, we are not going to allow you to take a social stance during the anthem." So at that point, that's when he had to do something, though, because under heavy pressure from ownership, led by Jerry Jones, and it was Jerry that was able to semi-get away that power from Roger Goodell in terms of, we'll make each team have to make an individual decision. And we've seen different ways that teams have reacted to it. The New York Jets, Chris Johnson, who, by the way, his brother Woody, was assigned one of the diplomatic-type jobs, ambassador job, I believe, to the UK. He's the ambassador, but he's even, Chris Johnson is saying, we're not going to fine anyone if they take a social stance during the anthem. The San Francisco 49ers said, we're going to stop concession sales during the anthem because, hey, if we expect the players to pay attention to the flag, well, then we need to have everyone in the stadium paying attention to the flag. And so you could think about the money flying out of owners' pockets around the league with that stance, how much they would lose in concession sales if everyone were to come to a grinding halt. So there were a bunch of unintended consequences about what was just a terrible decision by Roger Goodell and the NFL owners. And now we're back to square one, but at least they're working with the NFL Players Association, which they should have done all along, to try to come up with a solution to this. And the PA may lean on some of its members that are taking a social stance during the anthem. They may do nothing, and they may just say, hey, listen, as the NFL, you need to back our players, because what they're trying to do is not protest the United States. They're trying to protest different things that have happened with police brutality, for example, et cetera. So here we are still talking about the anthem 2 years, almost exactly 2 years since the Colin Kaepernick story happened.
Yeah. So, Alex, I remember thinking about this around Christmas. I'm like, I don't think I've seen a lot in the way of kneeling in the last couple of months. This is something that, I don't say completely, but more or less went away in the second half of the 2017 NFL football season, at least to my knowledge. You can correct me on that if I'm wrong, but relatively speaking, it seemed to be so. Now, Gord made a great point earlier on today about the fact that LeBron James is one of the biggest individual sporting brands in the world and is as powerful and is as articulate as anyone on these social issues, but you never see it from him on the court, either pregame during the anthem or during a basketball game at all. And my response to that is, of course, because the league took an inclusive approach, worked with the Players Association, worked with the teams, worked with the stars of the game to come up with an appropriate policy that kept the peace. Why was the NFL unable to do that? Or, to this point, unwilling to do that?
Well, a couple things. By the way, LeBron did make a couple social stances. If you remember the "I Can't Breathe" shirt that he wore during a
shoot around
pre-game
or
warm-up.
Pregame shot, yeah, okay,
yeah. So he did take a social stance in that regard. And listen, for the NBA, their players. See, this is the big difference between the NFL and other sports with strong player unions. The NBA, the NHL, at this point, believe it or not, I couldn't believe I'm saying this, but and Major League Baseball. And I'm saying I can't believe it because of how bad it was that you lost an entire season. But the NFL, they act like they really do treat the players like cattle sometimes. Like it's basically that they're fungible commodities and, hey, listen, if you don't like our rules, we'll just find somebody else. As long as we keep the top players, you know, in check, so to speak, then, you know, we're fine as a league. And there's no competition for them. So, you know, they don't work with the NFL Players Association. Instead, they try to dictate to the players union about things. And that's why the players union was going to file a grievance about this, saying, listen, you're violating our collective bargaining agreement. It came to that point because the NFL never went to them initially to try to find a solution to what was clearly an anthem problem. In fact, the league dropped the ball back in March of 2017. I asked a top executive, Troy Vincent, did y'all talk about the anthem issue during your meeting? No, never came up. So, I mean, the NFL did this to themselves. Look, are there some players that don't want to lose, you know, sponsorships and are afraid that people are going to pull out, big money deals if they do take a social stance? Sure, absolutely. I'm sure there's some pressure on that. Listen, and there's some players who may just simply not feel comfortable with this taking place during the national anthem. There's a lot of different things that go into it, but the big thing has been how the NFL hasn't been able to find a solution that works for them and their players, and they also have to be willing to weather the storm. But look, how many guys that are NFL owners support Donald Trump? How many may actually believe that, yeah, what Trump is saying is right, we want all our players to stand for the national anthem, so we want to put in the type of policy that doesn't allow wiggle room for any sort of social stance. So, you know, the other thing, too, with the NBA, remember, they're wearing jerseys, and you can wear T-shirts over jerseys, and then players have done that before. With the NFL, it's a little bit harder because you have the whole uniform on, et cetera. You just take your helmet off, but you get my point here. A little bit harder to do some things from that standpoint, social stance standpoint, than it is in the NBA.
So the irony of this, Alex, the sad irony is that Colin Kaepernick did this to attract attention to a very important issue, which is the inequitable treatment of people of color by police forces, which was very much, when he started doing it, a hot topic of conversation. To me, it seems, and it is ironic, the exact opposite's happened. It's become about the protest and not the reason behind it.
Right, and that's why some players just want to quit it. They just want to stop because they're saying, we're losing the message in all this. You know what I mean? We're not protesting America. We're protesting some of the things that are happening in America that we want to see get fixed. And, you know, some of the players that are doing it, by the way, they're among the most active players in the NFL when it comes to charitable endeavors, mm-hmm. when it comes to social initiatives. And you're right. And, you know, what happened with Colin Kaepernick, though, he didn't present his stuff very well to the media. I don't think he got his point across very well to folks. And, you know, when you go out there in pregame warmups and you're wearing, you know, pigs as police socks, you know, that's going to alienate a certain amount of your audience. Oh, and by the way, you're going to alienate a certain amount of audience in South Florida for sure when you wear a Che Guevara shirt. You know, when you talk about the virtues of the Cuban educational system under Fidel Castro. You know, when you start going down that road, well, it muddied your message right there. Others got what Colin Kaepernick was trying to do and draw attention to some of these issues that are going on with law enforcement, but he was a terrible representative and a terrible spokesman when it came to trying to get that message across for the league.
Well, but the other side of the equation, Alex, and I think you would acknowledge this, is that too many people who live in your country, and I would say a portion who live in mine and all around the world, simply don't care about this stuff. They don't right. care. I want my sports. I want my brunch, and I want my sports on my Sunday, and whatever else is going on in the world that you guys care about, don't shove it in my face because it's not affecting me. Give me my sports. And lead with your head if it's going to make the game-saving tackle.
Well, you know that. And listen, I mean, is there inherent racism in this country? I mean, you know, you think about that as well. In your country, too. I mean, this is how it is, unfortunately. And I think that's played into this as well. You know, what do these guys think that they're doing type of thing? And it's just, and again, it's become, as the NFL season approaches, the league can't get out of its own way. And here we are at the beginning of training camp talking about the anthem issue. And guess what the week one storyline is going to be?
Yep.
It's not Aaron Rodgers back on the field. It's not Andrew Luck back on the field. It's what did this team do during the anthem and what did the president send out on Twitter?
With Alex Marvez of SiriusXM.
So if you had to guess, Alex, when the opening weekend happens, what will the policy be?
I just wonder if they keep just extending this. I just don't. That's the thing. I wish I could forecast it because, you know, listen, you know, the NFLPA, they're going to talk to their constituents and they've got to get a feeling. And again, it's a limited number of guys. But here's part of the problem that the NFL has. If you put in the policy where you want players out there to stand for the anthem and follow a certain protocol, what happens if you have another thing where you have an action by police that draws controversy? What happens if the U.S. goes to war, for example? And it really is, and that's not as far-fetched as if we were having this conversation a year ago. But what if there's a military action that somebody wants to protest that's an NFL player? And they do it like that. They're not protesting the police. They're protesting something else. Where does all this end? And I really believe that the NFL, you know, the easy way to do it, I guess, would be to keep players in the locker room. I've proposed something completely radically different. How about a celebration of America? How about instead of the national anthem, you put out a video before the game, that's about 60 to 90 seconds, of football players from that team saying, "We are football, we are America." And it shows the good things that they do, it shows interaction with the soldiers, etc. You have the music building up to a crescendo, and boom, you introduce the home team. And you can celebrate America, and you just take the anthem itself out of the equation. You're not showing any disrespect to America. In fact, you're celebrating America, but you're also taking out the fact that players wouldn't have a chance to protest the anthem during the anthem itself. That might be a way around it, but what do I know?
Well, yeah, or we could just watch the football get played on Sunday and I'll take lessons in Cyrillic on Monday.
Very nice, very nice.
It's always fun, pal. I got to be honest with you. We're, what, like 6 or 7 weeks away from the season starting, and training camp will be sooner than that. So we'll start talking a lot more regularly and hopefully not often about this. Tell the Raj to get it right.
Listen, can we really trust that to happen at this point?
Yeah.
Since everything he seems to touch falls apart, except for the money part, by the way. If you guys noticed news out this week, each NFL team received $255 million in television revenue alone.
And what's the
just
cap?
Television revenue.
What's the cap now?
Cap's 178.
Hmm. So you've covered your payroll.
There you go.
Yeah, that, right, exactly. You covered your payroll. Oh, and you covered your coach's salaries, and you covered probably all of your front office employees, et cetera. Then you start making money with ticket sales, parking, luxury suites, et cetera. Yeah, the league is not dying, but they have an anthem issue.
Yeah, and the Rams' PSL costs, good for business for Mr. Stan Kroenke. Thanks for this, Alex.
You guys are awesome. Be good. Thank you.
It's Kroenke.
I know.
Stan Kroenke.
Stan Kroenke.
You call him Stan Kroenke.
Yeah.
It's Kroenke.
It's Kroenke. He can sue me if he wants. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
The greatest moments in history are now up to you. This is TSN 1050's Sound Wars. Yeah!
4:53, you're listening to Overdrive. Okay, the winner from today's Sound Wars battle between Minneapolis Miracle and Jack Lament's beer spill is Minneapolis Miracle, which received 55% of the voting, while Jack Lament's beer spill received 45% of the voting.
Case on a deep drop, steps up in the pocket. He'll fire to the right side, caught by Diggs. Stay up!
Oh my God! Oh my God!
30!
No!
10!
Touchdown!
Are you kidding me?
Miracle finish!
It's a Minneapolis Miracle! Step on!
Now it's time for a Sound Wars battle in the, oh, here we go, the Jerry Conference. It's seed number 4. The NHL will what their panties?
By this time next week, the Maple Leafs will be on their annual California road trip. So I guess I have to throw out my own hot take this week. Well, here goes nothing. The Leafs will sweep through Cali. And the hockey world is gonna sh** their collective panties.
Jerry!
That's uncalled for.
Let me hear the last part again.
And the hockey world is gonna sh** their collective panties.
Smoke.
I followed the Leafs on that road trip. They didn't sweep it. They didn't sweep it. Okay, here's seed number 5. Jerry decks the halls.
Deck the halls with boughs of Jerry. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. That's right, you filthy pigeons. Jerry's here with a sack full of hot takes. One more thing. I'm blind drunk on rum and eggnog.
Go to TSN1050.ca, click on Sound Wars, and vote for your favorite. The NHL will wet their panties, or Jerry decks the halls. Voting for this Sound War closes Monday at 8 a.m. Listen to Landsberg in the morning for the results and for the start of a new Sound Wars battle on TSN 1050. Steve Sands of the Golf Channel and Jack Armstrong as Masai speaks. Hour number two of Overdrive starts now, TSN 1050.
You've been listening to Overdrive, delivered by Skip the Dishes. Skip the Dishes delivers the food you want from the restaurants you love. Place your order using the Skip the Dishes app or online at skipthedishes.com.